New Orleans has long been about blending different musical styles together, and nothing illustrates that more than the story of Congo Square. Tonight, WWNO is proud to present the world broadcast debut of a New Orleans original jazz composition, Bambula, Take 3, The Legacy of Congo Square. Now, before we get started, let's get some background from its composer and writer, New Orleans musician Edward Anderson. Edward, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'm thrilled to be here.
Also joining us is Freddie Evans. She is author of Congo Square, African Roots in New Orleans. Freddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Edward, let's start with you. Musically, the title, Bambula, Take 3. Tell us about the title and how that relates.
Well, the piece is based upon the composition of the great New Orleans composer, Louis Gottschalk, who lived in the 19th century, early 19th century, and really became one of the first American classical composers. He traveled to Europe and was really received with great acclaim and introduced a lot of the music of New Orleans, the Afro-Caribbean, specifically the influences of the Afro-Caribbean music that existed in New Orleans. He brought that to Europe. So he was one of the first people to really sort of export the New Orleans sound way back in the 19th century. So that was the inspiration. And what inspired me was the opportunity to create a new version of that, or to take that model and bring it into the 21st century. So what I did was sort of to imagine what if, had a what if scenario, what if Gottschalk jumped in a time capsule and was able to come to New Orleans today? What would be his inspiration? What would he see that would remind him of the legacy of Congo Square? How would he compose based upon the influences that are present today? Being a jazz musician, I wanted to do much like the jazz musicians did at the turn of the century. If you think of someone like Louis Armstrong, he took a lot of the influences that were present in his life, in his daily world, and out of that, he created this thing called jazz, whether it be the influences of ragtime, whether it be the minstrel performances that he was able to be privy to, just a lot of the different influences he was able to really mold into his own creation.
Now, what was it specifically? Which Gottschalk piece did you draw on, and what did you hear in there specifically?
Well, this piece is called Bambula, Danse des Negresses. Once again, written in the early 19th century, and this piece for me is very interesting because it predates jazz. You know, the music that we credit as jazz with artists such as Jelly Roll Morton and those sorts of artists. So this was a through composed piece. He wrote everything out. What inspired me the most out of this was the fact that, you know, being in New Orleans today, I still hear the legacy of what he was hearing over 100 years ago, over 150 years ago. So that to me was very fascinating, and it sort of brought this almost this nationalistic sort of pride in that, you know, to approach this music and to recreate something and build upon something that's so powerful and so still so present and so prevalent today in our New Orleans culture.
Let's bring Freddie in. Freddie Evans, author of Congo Square, African Roots in New Orleans. By the way, 2012 Humanities Book of the Year. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
What was going on in Congo Square at this time when Gottschalk heard this? What set the scene for us?
Well, Gottschalk was born in 1829, and historians don't actually say that he saw Congo Square. We have no proof that he did, but whether he was privy to the gatherings, he was privy to the music itself and the dances through his nurse Sally and other people who were around him. So he was so familiar with the piece Bambula that even his sisters transcribed the songs that inspired many of his pieces. So the piece that Edward used was a Creole slave song entitled La Patate Laquite, basically, but it means translated the sweet potato song. And that was one of the most popular songs in Congo Square during the early 1800s, during the time of American rule, the early American rule. And he used that melody to compose the Bambula piece that inspired Edward's work. And so it's really great to see how Edward has treated that same melody to compose his work. And that melody was also used by Afro-British composer Coleridge Taylor later on. So Edward is the third person that I know of, the classical, has taken it to treat it in a classical manner.
Now, for spectators coming to watch what was going on in Congo Square, they, at its largest, about how many people would be participating in
That's it? A good point. One person who is quoted largely is Benjamin Latrobe, who said there were 500 to 600 dancers in 1819. But that was also February. So I would believe that there would be more people in the spring, especially if they had to walk from a distance and they were poorly clad or, you know, didn't have shoes on their feet. So I don't think that that was the largest representation, largest number. Some eyewitnesses said that there were thousands of gatherers. And I do believe it did go into the thousands from the number of people who said that. But, of course, those were estimates, too. And keeping in mind, Congo Square was not the area space that we see now, because it was that full area where the auditorium now stands. So in 1834, I think it was, Creasy said that it was 5 to 6 acres of land. And that would include that space easily, because that has taken up half of the space. The area that the auditorium now takes up is about the same as Congo Square itself, what we see now. So without that auditorium, it would be about 6 acres.
What I found most interesting about your book was you brought up the point, many points in there, but amongst those was that what was going on in Congo Square, people and artists would come from outside the region and see what was going on in Congo
Yes.
Square, and then they would take that back to wherever they came from. And this became sort of a known thing, to come to Congo Square
Yes.
and see what was going on. Can you talk Mm-hmm. a little bit about
Yes.
that?
What came to my mind when you said that was the minstrels who stood around Congo Square to receive to get their material, so to speak, to take to the stage. And one of the ones that was most prominent was Christy, E.P. Christy, who stood around. And in his biographies, he talked about the influence that he received from the gatherings at Congo Square, the dances, the songs. And he was even able to publish songbooks. He has a minstrel songbook, Christie's Minstrel Songbook. And the combination of books, I think, totals 300 songs of plus. And some of those songs have names that were the same names of the dances that were performed in Congo Square. For instance, the Juba was one of the dances performed there, and one of the dances that he took to the stage using that name.
And we've heard the story of the birth of jazz through the mixture of the African and the European music and ears all hearing it and putting it together. How does that relate to what you're doing, Edward?
Well, as I mentioned, I think, you know, knowing that this actually predates as what we call jazz, we consider the birth of jazz taking place at the turn of the 20th century. So this predates that. However, you still hear those elements that are very crucial and very important in that development and that evolution. You hear the syncopation. You hear that melodic sense. And you hear the danceability. These were things that were very unique to the classical idiom. So for him to take this, you know, those influences and to place them into a classical idiom, if you will, and then export them out, that was extremely unique. I mean, that was groundbreaking, and once again, he was seen as a superstar when he went to Europe. He was hanging out with Chopin and Berlioz and people like that. So he had made the big time, and it was because of the aesthetic of New Orleans and how we perceive music. It's tied to the ritual of our daily lives. I think that is very important also in the jazz experience when we think about the second line, when we think about the brass bands and how we participate in those cultural experiences as musicians, as participants, as an audience. Our audience really isn't an audience. They don't just sit back and listen and clap politely. They participate.
We hear Bambula, the Bambula beat. All right, let's break it down. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about a rhythm that is still very, very prevalent in New Orleans. And listening to the early Bambula rhythms, you hear a rhythm that has sensual qualities. Once again, it's tied to ritual. You know, the meaning, the word Bambula has historically has several meanings, and it sort of is an umbrella term, if you will, because it refers to the actual drum that was used. It also refers to the rhythm that the drum plays. It refers to the dance that was used, that, you know, that was reacting to the rhythm. So it's really this umbrella term. But understanding that that, you know, this cultural ritual, once again, is all tied into New Orleans and how it dates back. It goes, connects to the Caribbean through Haiti, and then it connects back to Africa. So understanding that the source, the mother source of that rhythm comes from Africa, and what it represents being, once again, tied to the ritual, being tied to dance, once again, because that's a very crucial part of the story. Because if you think about New Orleans music, everything's focus is on the dance. You know, there's a cerebral quality to our music, but it also is very tied to the emotional context and participation of those that are listening to it. And I think that's the importance of this music, and that's why it's been embraced on such a high level throughout the years.
So what would be a more contemporary use of it that we might hear in music in New Orleans?
Well, you know, thinking about some of the historically important recordings through history, I mean, one that really comes to mind is "Hey Pocketway." I mean, that's a piece that everyone, if you know anything about New Orleans music, you know, if you had to ask anybody that's a fan of New Orleans music, give me your top 10 selections, that's going to probably be one of the top three.
So in the beginning, we're hearing the Bambula beat.
It's the whole piece is based upon that groove. I happened to be, a couple weeks ago, I happened to be standing on Frenchman, taking a break. We just played a set with the Delphi and Marcellus group, and we were on break, and I happened to walk to the corner just to take a break. We stepped outside of Snug Harbor, walked to the corner just to get a chance to get out for a second, and on the corner was a brass band. Now, it's interesting because, you know, when you really embrace a project, it sort of opens up a way that you perceive things. I'd never really studied the rhythm on a certain level. I mean, I know the New Orleans street beat, but to really hear, when I listened to the drum players, the first thing I realized is that the bass drum player was playing a Bambula groove. Now, I don't really know if he realized he was playing it, you know, if anyone ever really stopped and said, hey, this is a Bambula groove. But through the oral history tradition of New Orleans, you know, and that's the beauty of New Orleans. Growing up in the thing, the culture being passed down, it's just something that is natural. It's just like learning how to cook red beans and rice. You use a certain kind of meat. You use, you know, it's just certain things that we all know that we're privy to in New Orleans.
That beat is very popular, not just in New Orleans, but also in other parts of the United States, particularly the South Carolina. It's known as the Gullah Clap. That Tresilla. So there it is kept in the sacred setting. Here we keep it in the streets, you know, that beat. So it was great to see that parallel, you know, as I conducted my research.
I also find a very interesting point that Freddie made in her book. And once again, it really made me more aware of the importance of a piece like Gottschall's piece. The melody is actually built upon the rhythm, but it's sort of deceptive because if you listen to the actual melody, I'm going to try to sing it a little bit. It's dun, 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 dun. Now, if you take that same rhythm and you tie, meaning you connect the second and the third beats together, you get this. That is your Bambula group. So I find that like really interesting and really eye-opening how this music really is just prevalent on so many different levels.
And Edward, as we get ready to listen to this piece, who are the people we're going to be hearing on this recording?
Yeah, it's Evan Christopher, clarinet, great saxophonist Kyrie Lee, Oliver Bonney, another up-and-coming young master musician, David Harris, same thing on trombone, James Westfall, is a vibraphone player. David Pulfus, one of the preeminent bassists in New Orleans, O.C. Davis, and Matt Limler on piano, and myself, of course, on trumpet. So, yeah, it was a nice-sized band. We played at the Mint, a beautiful facility that actually has the built-in recording capability. So it just worked out well. It was a great Sunday afternoon.
We should also mention that there is a narrative component to this, a spoken word component to this as well.
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting to add a spoken word component to this as well, just to broaden the experience. So I actually invited Chuck Perkins, one of New Orleans' premier poets, to include some of his work, because he actually did a body of work specifically on Congo Square. So I thought that would be a unique way to even add further colorings to what we were doing musically.
Edward Anderson, he has composed Bambula Take 3, The Legacy of Congo Square. We're about to hear that as well. And Freddie Evans, author of Congo Square, African Roots in New Orleans. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I really enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
And now Bambula Take 3, The Legacy of Congo Square.
1718, it took us to New Orleans. 200 slaves, who should be so mean? I sent a Gambia, it's from where we came. Shipped in slave chains to the Congo plain. Got our culture at the barrel of a gun. Erased our name, we still got our drum. Still got our talent, we still got our song. We gotta work 6 days, we're working hard and long. But Sunday, that is our day. We gonna dance and sing our troubles away. We ain't plant no rice, we ain't shucking no corn. We gonna dance our dance and sing our song. Dance for Shango underneath the sun. We gonna wake the spirit when we play the drum. Let's kalinda on Congo Square. Bambula, like you just don't care. Let's kalinda on Congo Square. Bambula, like you just don't care.
Thank you.
If you can envision the souls of yesterday living in the music that rises from the cracks in the sidewalk, then New Orleans is your dream, with a heart as soft as the Spanish moss dripping from centuries-old oak trees. She's a pretty face with dirty feet, the good witch of Lake Pontchartrain, a spice god of shrimp and crawfish, keeping the spirits fed. Communities of windowless monuments masquerading as cemeteries, tower above ground, no earth or worms to cover the flesh, no silver bullets to turn out the spirits that still dance with her. Armed with the blueprint of civilization, the new world stormed in with enough cement and asphalt to pave a boulevard back to Paris, and the spirit of the swamp still hasn't submitted, leaving mildewed kisses of disapproval on everything foreign to the wetlands. Catholicism could not turn out the spirit of Marie Laveau. The wrecking ball could not turn out the spirit of Storyville. And death could not turn out the spirit of Louis Armstrong when yesterday hangs on to forever.
Thank you. strip away the layers, and you will find the drum and the bambula rhythm. West Africa's gift to the New World. Transported from the Serengeti to the alluvial soils of the Mississippi. At the music of French whores and cast-offs. At the music of Spain. Give birth to syncopation. At the music of the river and the swamp. At the music of the indigenous. Inspire the great composer Louis Gottschalk. At the music of San Domingue and Havana, throw in the brass. At the music of Haitian aristocrats, mistresses of color, and slaves, whose collective numbers doubled the population of the blessed city, at theirs. At the stiff music of the Americans, the sanctimonious music of the church, and the decadent music of whorehouses. At the music of the world that traveled to the mouth of the river, and let it all marinate in the humidity of the colorful and the chaotic. Let it cook and pass it to the one. By the powers vested in the manifestation of hot brass, full lungs, and soft lips, give it to the musical messiah. Born amongst the downtrodden, the one who unapologetically wrapped his arms around a whore and called her wife, the one who received his confirmation from the sweet notes of Freddie Keppard while dreaming on the cot of a home for wayward boys. Give it to the one who picked up a trumpet in the same home. Satchel, Pops, dip him out. Watch him change the world. Give it to him. This musical gumbo marinated in the humidity of the colorful and the chaotic for over 200 years. Give it to him. Let him elevate it and elevate us. Let him take it from New Orleans to Chicago, New York, and Europe. Watch him make the world swing. And in honor of his first disciples, Mary Lucy, Slippers, and Black Benny, let it be a reminder from this day forward to all of the lives that have been directly or indirectly affected. That there's gold in them ghettos. Thank you.
Barbara Bonney. David Harris. Kyrie Lee. Evan Christopher. James Westfall. Megan Schwartz. Matt Libler. David Polfus. O.C. Davis. Chuck Perkins. Thank you so very much.
You've been listening to Bambula Take 3, The Legacy of Congo Square, an original composition by Edward Anderson, recorded live at the Mint in New Orleans on April 1st, 2012. This presentation was made possible with support from NOLA V, the Jean Lafitte National Historical Jazz Park, the New Orleans Tourism Marketing Corporation, and WWNO.